Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is your portal to the people, to the ideas shaping our cosmic future. What if the information you need right now isn't meant to just be understood, but felt at a cellular level? Today, Wendy Kennedy is back, and she joins us to channel a direct line to the ninth dimensional Pleiadian collective, revealing items today about Hollow Earth, hidden civilizations, Sasquatch, and more. The multidimensional cosmos and why her transmission today matters now more than ever. For more about Wendy Kennedy, go to higherfrequencies.net. And with that, I bring the amazing Wendy Kennedy back to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you here.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Debbie, so much for having me back.
Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, just to give you a little behind the scenes, in between you coming on the show, I keep notes on my phone because I think about things and I have questions. I think about things you and I talked about and I have further questions. And because it's a bit like a two-year-old. Why? This incredibly curious mind. So I'm grateful. You know, I get to keep this list. I know you're coming on and I can pull out the list and we can do some of those questions. But I love starting with you. And I want to find out, here you are, more than three decades of contact with non-human intelligences. What do you think from your perspective right now, Wendy, that humanity still misunderstands most about extraterrestrial consciousness and its role in our evolution?
I think the thing that people kind of miss the most is this idea that somehow they're higher, they're better, and the guides are really straightforward. They like to emphasize that they just have a different perspective. And it may not be the best perspective for us, but when we stop and we go inside, we can access the highest information for ourselves. So a lot of times I think people want to give their power away. I think people want them to come down and save us. And beings of the highest light aren't going to do that. They're there to support us while we figure it out. And they show us how to do it, but we have to be the ones to do it. So I think that's really important for people to realize. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, I just don't want to live in this kind of dystopian reality that we have. But the only way it's going to change is if we start working on ourselves and changing our frequency. And as that happens, then our external reality starts to change as well.
Is there a most surprising paradigm-altering truth that the beings you channel have revealed about human origin, something that surprised even you?
No, I mean, I think some of it is already out there. You know, they talk about us being a hybrid species. And, you know, when they first gave me the information, you know, it was 30 years ago. So everything was new to me. It wasn't like I had a solid foundation for a religious belief system or anything like that. So it wasn't like it was altering my patterns or rocking my reality, shocking me. But I think at this point, when there's so many people out there who are doing amazing things, they're doing research and kind of being able to show in a more quote unquote scientific way that the things that have come through in terms of the guides, that this is really what shows up in our geological records, in our ancient history books and things like that. So I won't say that there's anything that's really shocking or surprising. The thing that kind of shocks me the most is how unwilling people are to be open to new ideas and new interpretations. When you look at some of the established institutions, that they are very closed in terms of what they think, that you come in with a date that's supported by science of how far back some of the ruins are, but they don't want to open up to that. So I think that to me is a little bit shocking, but I think there are more and more people who are discovering this and seeing this. So I do see that changing, but still, it's we're still walking uphill.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting you went there and alluded to that because that's the first thing I thought about when you said that, these archaic paradigms not willing to shift and open up to other possibilities, really standing by their version of the truth. And archaeologists are a perfect example. Someone like Graham Hancock, what he's up against, and other people who are doing groundbreaking work, and especially now with LADAR going on, and some of the amazing things that they're discovering, I don't think they'll be able to hold a candle much going forward as science continues to progress and starts to be able to prove these things. And I really think overall, history is not what we were taught.
No, I don't think so. And I think, to be honest, I think some of the ancient text, you have to take that with a grain of salt as well, because it is written from a particular vantage point, and that's typically who was in power at the time. So, I think there are multiple sides even to those stories, but it gives us a greater understanding of kind of our history. The guides have talked about what we think of as modern humans started with Lemuria 400,000 years ago, and kind of they came down into a more dense reality, and then we had the Atlantean civilization. So with each civilization and each round of a civilization, because even within those there were rises and falls, and we're now getting to a point where we're starting to remember, we're coming back up to some of the abilities that these beings had, and as we start to access these higher vibrational energies, we can start to go into the Akashic records and get information. And the interesting thing, and the way that guides talk about time and the nature of reality, of the infinite now moments, and which version are you going to put yourself on, which one are you in alignment with, we'll start to be able to go into some of these records and see the different ways that things played out and the vibrational moment that we're standing on, which story supports that vibrational moment. And that's going to be different for each and every one of us as we kind of move moment to moment to moment to moment, and string it together to give ourselves the illusion of a linear perceived reality. But we'll be able to start to answer some of these questions. And I think we're seeing that in reality as well, what's being reflected back to us right now. It's very difficult to tell what's the truth, what's not the truth. And the guides always recommend going inside and seeing what resonates with you. Because at the end of the day, it's all about us and how we take that information and how we hold it, or how it impacts us and how we respond to it, because that's what determines the reality that we create. So, it's very interesting from that level, because we're looking for a hard answer, a definitive answer, and I don't think that truly exists when you look at the true nature of reality.
You mentioned about seeing what's going on now and it being reflected back to us. And I think one of the very positive ways is when I see people like you and what's happening to you. And that really is exciting. You and I share a lot of the same channeler friends. There's you, there's Daryl Anka, there's Jamie Price, there's Rob Gauthier, et cetera. And it is so gorgeous to see your trajectory opening up so massively right now to see the public really embrace you. I dare I say mainstream start to break down and be open to this information, hungry for this information. And so how is that for you? Did the guides tell you, Wendy, this is going to be a big time for you, all the work you've done, here's the big payoff? Or how have they prepared you and told you about this?
Oh, they just said, over time people begin to open up to the information, and it's like, oh, we're here. So it definitely has become more It's on the verge of mainstream. You know, if you think about yoga, 25 years ago, that was a little bit on the fringe, and now it's very mainstream. And I think accessing your psychic abilities, your intuitive abilities, that's becoming more and more of something that the general population is opening up to. So, I think everything that they've taught me up to this point is kind of prepared me for that in terms of being able to hold my own energy and my own light. And that's not to say that I haven't had challenges, throughout my life where my boundaries have been tested, or really being able to hold my own. Just like everybody, we all have those things that we wanted to work on. So, just as I'm going through life, they've kind of helped me to give me different perspectives on things to bring me to this point.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to take a quick pause. I want to go a little deeper into this work before Wendy starts channeling the nine P's. I've got something very special for you. For those of you who are curious what your galactic ancestry is, your cosmic lineage, got a free gift that will help you determine where you might be from. You can receive your gift at debbiedashinger.com/Starseed. It's Debbie with an I and Dachinger with a C, debbiedashinger.com/starseed. Also, you can join Wendy Kennedy and myself at the 24th annual LA Conscious Life Expo. That's February 20th through the 23rd. It's coming up soon, so get your tickets. This is a phenomenal event where we take over three floors of a hotel. You will see the greatest presenters, the greatest workshops, over 200 vendors. Oh, at least 8,000 people over the weekend come through that door. Come meet your tribe. Come see your folks in person. It is such a beautiful experience. You can go to my website to get tickets, debbiedashinger.com/CLE. And everything, all the links are in the show notes. Also, you can join me for the adventure of a lifetime in March 2026. I am going to be speaking aboard the Mystery School at Sea. I'm really excited for this because we're going to Greece and Turkey, two countries I've never been before. And Laura Eisenhower will be speaking, Debbie Solaris will be speaking, Geraldine Orozco, myself, Neil Garr, and so much more. This is a beautiful experience. You can come claim your cabin, join us, and it's mysteryschoolatcsea.com. And finally, if this conversation means something to you, then support us. When you like, subscribe, hype these videos, it means that we get to reach way more starseeds, way more light workers who are really interested in this, and frankly, sometimes really need to hear this to validate what they're experiencing right now. So we'd like to feel supported by our community. Go ahead, like, leave comments. I love reading them. And thank you for doing so. I bring Wendy back to the show. And I just want to say before we start, before when you're answering the questions, I love when I start hearing the lilt of the nine P's bleeding through a little. I'm like, oh, they're here.
Yeah, so for those who haven't heard them before, they're a group of about 2,500 beings of light. They don't have physical form, and they actually work with tone and sound, which is why their dialect is different than my own. It's really not any one particular dialect. It's just tones and sounds that they can modulate. So it's as if we're getting a healing today as well.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you. And we are here for it.
Yep,
I'm
so
ready for you.
let me get out of the way and we'll see where we go. Ah, yes, hello, dears. This is the Ninth Dimensional Pleiadian Collective, and it is a pleasure and an honor to have the opportunity to once again connect with you. So we're very excited to be with you at this time because it's a very fast-moving time. There are a lot of pattern recognition opportunities for you that are coming up over the course of the next several months for you to see at the personal level some things that maybe you've been creating that you're ready to let go of, some things that you're creating that you say, "Ooh, I like this energy. I want more of this energy." And that also is for the external world that is reflected back to you, that you're seeing some of the patterns of behavior that don't really support where you as the collective want to go. And it is important at those moments where you recognize that, that you also look within. You pay attention to how you're feeling. You notice what gets triggered and activated within you. And are you yourself running those very same energies in a very different way, perhaps, maybe at a very subtle level, as opposed to a very obvious, gross level at the physical, collective level. But nonetheless, it's the same frequency. That's the gold. Those are the moments that you want to pay attention to, because if you want to increase your frequency, you have to let go of any of the programs of lack, limitation, and separation that you are holding. And if you find yourself going into contraction, then that's telling you that there is some sort of attachment or aversion to a polarity. There is a judgment that is happening that needs to be integrated and or released.
All
So we're
right.
excited to see where you all head over the course of the year.
I'm feeling some of that already, I will say. That pattern recognition, definitely seeing things preferred, don't prefer. So that's quite an affirmation to know we're exactly where we're supposed to be right now. I want to head into, to start with, inner earth or hollow earth, as it has been sometimes called throughout history. And ask you, because we've discussed this before, but I really want to go deeper into this. If you could talk about specifically how many species live in inner Earth, and if you can, name them and what they're like, and maybe what their role is.
So, there are hundreds of different species, and sometimes they are bases where there may be 20 or 30 different species. So, think about your Star Trek series and how there are many different species aboard a ship and they're on their own mission. And sometimes it is that way with some of these groups who have what you would call underground bases. But not all of them are within the Earth. Some of them are just in orbit where they aren't seen by you with your current technology. So some of them are in mountains themselves. You wouldn't really consider that under the Earth, but they've been able to shift the frequency waves so that they can enter into a different density of that section of Earth in the mountain, if you will. And part of the reason they do that is because sometimes humans, as you are grounded and heart-centered, can shift your frequency enough that you can see. So in some ways, they're quote unquote still hiding from you or being undercover. Just for those specific moments, because it is not their intention to disrupt you too terribly. There are some that are interested in interacting with you and some not so much. So, in terms of naming them, many of these species are from places that you wouldn't recognize if we gave you names, and think about all the different ways that you say and describe the same country around your world. So the languaging is it's a bit different, but there are representatives from seven of your major star systems here. So Cassiopeia, Orion, Sirius, Lyra or Lyra, however you'd like to say it, the Pleiades, Andromeda. All right, so there are beings from all Arcturus, from all of these systems, and then there are different dimensional ranges that are represented. The majority that are showing up right now are fifth dimensional, in terms of those that are physical, that are doing what we would call genetic experiments. They're doing hybrid projects because they are just slightly out of phase with Earth. Those that are a little higher in frequency, seventh, eighth, ninth dimensional beings are working more with you at an energetic level to be of support to you. You know, the purpose for their visits runs the gamut. There are beings who are around nearly every sacred site that you are conscious of because the energetics in that area are higher because of the ley lines. So any of the sacred sites that you are around, you can be guaranteed that there are beings who are out of phase that you can't see, but they are there. They're there tapping into the records and the knowledge that humanity has to share through your emotional expression, because your emotions are very unique. Because of the genetic material that you have, you've got a wide range of emotions that you explore here, and the intensity of them is quite something. And that doesn't exist on every planet, but your emotions move a lot of energy. They're little explosions of energy every time you have an emotional sensation. And that has a big ripple effect, and that doesn't happen in most species. So they are observing you all. If you're out and about and you feel like you're sensing or seeing a ship, it's a really good indicator that there's a lot of high vibrational energy in the land where you are seeing them. All right. What you asked was a big question. So if you want us to drill down, let us know. Where would you like us to go?
Know further, are there actually concentric circles to inner Earth? So I've heard it say that there may be inside of where we are on top of Terra, another inner Earth with its own sun and its own magnetic poles, and yet inside of that, almost like Russian dolls, one inside of the other, inside of the other. Can you describe what it's actually like inside of Earth? Is it hollow with caverns? Is it different concentric layers?
We wouldn't describe it as being hollow. And the reason is because what you experience at the poles, there are some what you would consider to be cavernous areas, but there are also different portals, entry points into different vibrational levels of the Earth herself. So it's not as if you are going into a layer that is a 3D physical layer. You're moving interdimensionally. And in interdimensional space, it doesn't exist in the same way. All right. So it is its own version of Mother Earth. And it's not that there is a quote unquote sun, but rather the heart light of Mother Earth, which radiates out. Your scientists haven't really discovered this just yet. But Mother Earth has the same elements of a sun within her, and the light quality that she emits, you're not registering just yet. And there is a quality from your sun, Helios, that comes and you receive a bandwidth of that spectrum of light, but there's another quality of light that is emanated from Mother Earth that is required for you all to thrive on this planet. You need it, and you are absorbing it through your bodies as you walk upon the planet. When you're inside, when you are not getting out in nature, it's very hard for you also to receive not only from the sun above, but from the Earth herself, this energy wave. And there is an electromagnetic component to it. But it's not identical to the kind of gross electrical magnetical experience that you have in 3D because it's a far more subtle energy. So think about octaves in music. So 3D has one range of frequency. This would be the next octave up, if you will.
Amazing. Does that address this inner earth, Mother Earth heart that radiates out, plus whatever's collected from the Helios? I understand that the ant beings are able to light their cavernous regions, and it's inner light that comes from the walls. There's no electricity, but they have light. They have animals, flora, fauna, trees, water, all of it. And how do they light the inside of where they are inside the earth?
Through sacred geometry, utilizing geometric patterns, the subtle energy can move, and sometimes it gets excited, and because it can move in a particular way, and that creates the luminosity. So a lot of it involves sacred geometry. Sound is another way, as they were creating standing waveforms. All right. That also can generate light as you work with sound.
Beautiful. I want to cover something that is really important to me because I hear it all the time out there, and I feel like it's a gross misnomer. And there seems to be this idea that all reptilians are bad, all grays are bad. I just had this happen recently with a casting director who was having interview conversation with me about a project, and she said, "Oh, I interviewed someone else for this, and they said reptilians and grays are all bad." And I very caringly corrected that. And I said, "That is incorrect. That's like saying all lawyers are bad, all humans are bad, all singers are bad." No, there's a plethora, there's a smorgasbord out there of different gray beings and different species within the gray, and as well with the reptilians. Please let me know, am I correct? Are they correct? Could you clear that up and speak to that?
Yes, it would be like saying all humans are bad. So there are certain beings who may be of a specific species that are working in a more self-centered way, working more for the empowerment of self as opposed to service to all. And there are beings who are just the opposite. All right, so yes, you are correct in that there's a wide range of beings throughout the entire galaxy. Some lean more to the positive end of the spectrum and some to the more negative. What you all perceive and kind of want to lump together some of these beings are the species that you've had more personal interactions with, and sometimes you don't fully understand the interaction. So we always like to liken it to a surprise party. So, your friends throw you a surprise party. You walk in the door, it's dark, you flip on the lights, and they all scream at you and jump out and say, "Surprise." So, in the first moment, you are highly startled and scared by this because you're not expecting it. It's not part of your normal pattern. And this is sometimes what happens when people encounter some of these species. They forget that they have contracted at the soul level to interact with some of these beings. And sometimes that means playing more of what you may call the victim role, to their perpetrator. Or it may also be that you just don't understand the interaction, you don't remember, and that is how you translate it or interpret it because that's the best that you can do with your current level or perception of reality. You've forgotten that it is a co-creation. Everything in reality, at every level of reality, in every dimension, is a co-creation with source and a co-creation amongst beings. And it's hard for the human mind to really wrap its brain around that sometimes. Or it's hard for the human to wrap their brain around it because the ego would never want to experience anything that was uncomfortable or seemingly negative. But sometimes those experiences, because they are so unlike what your higher vibrational expressions are like, Your connection to source is closer, it's stronger. Here you get to forget that and operate under the illusion and have these unique experiences where you feel that you're separate. And that changes the emotional response, it changes the decisions that you make. And the ego is a beautiful thing for the limited perspective of reality, but it is not real. And it is not the part of you that is truly in the driver's seat making decisions. It is the divine spark within you, your soul essence, that is making those decisions because you say, ooh, I'm going to learn a lot about what it feels like to be separate from source by going and having that seemingly negative experience. Because the negative experiences give you contrast so that you have a greater understanding of what the light is like. Without that contrast, it's very hard to know. And this is why the dualistic universe was created. So source could know itself, to have experiences that would provide contrast. So in those times where you feel that you are being challenged, having a negative experience, we would say, where's the gift in it? Because it is showing you how you are either expressing or suppressing divine light. And if you're having a seemingly negative experience, that means that somewhere in your perspective of reality, you are not holding the highest frequency possible. There's just more light for you to have. It's not that you're good, that you're bad, that you're right, that you're wrong. It's just you're vibrating with these limiting beliefs in place that match the experience that you have. And you can shift that in a breath. It's making the choice to do that. And you've got all sorts of social conditioning about how you think reality is really generated and how difficult it is to change things. That's a fallacy. And you're seeing that now more than ever, how quickly you can change and manifest based on the frequencies that you're holding. And you can put it to the test. Play with it. Decide how you want to feel. Imagine what that would feel like. Pulse that out and see what shows up.
You talk about the Sasquatch and where they come from. I understand they're definitely multidimensional in the sense that they can come in and out of portals, don't always want to be seen. I had heard that originally they were Lyran beings, and that really surprised me. So I'd love to know more about them.
The majority come from the Kateri system, and that is in the Orion system. But, you know, they've been here a very long time, and they have interbred with different species along the way and beings from different star systems, and there are different groups and collectives, but they're by no means the only group from the Orion system, some from Lyra, some from Sirius. You know, a lot of the information that you get, people get stuck on it. And they think, oh, well, here's the final answer, just as you were saying, that all these beings are bad over here. It's the same thing with some of these species. They may come from different star systems and be representatives of that. They may be the same species or very similar species. And then, as we said, they mix a bit. So they've been here for a very, very long time, longer than the Arcturans, which that's about 400 to 500,000 years ago. So it's a long time that they've been here. They, in their early days, much like the Lemurians, they would kind of come and go in the higher vibrational ranges and kind of came down a bit as well. So they followed that descension process and had a bit of fun with it.
Why do they come to Earth? Why Earth? And are they at all interested in interactions with humans?
No, not at this time. There were times on your planet with beings of a higher vibrational nature, what you would think of as a time where you had more mystical, magical creatures. You all had a greater level of telepathy. You held a greater consciousness that these beings interacted. And then as you went down and down in the vibrational process, if you will, in the dissension process, they decided they weren't going to that level. So we would say a lot of that split happened with what you would consider to be the Great Flood, that they spent more time in a slightly out of sync, all right, and inside the earth in caves and in different vibrational levels, just as we were talking about inner earth. And then, as you're coming up in frequency, they're curious about what's going on here. So that's why, in part, you're interacting with them more and your frequency is higher, so you can start to see into their vibrational range. So it's not always their choice. Sometimes you're stepping up in frequency to see them, not them coming down.
I see. That causes me to be really fascinated about shamans. Are shamans, indigenous shamans, actually from here, or are they from another constellation, galaxy, etc., species? And why? I'm just so curious about them and how they bring in the information they do. Because when I was taught shamanism, I was taught their ability to access other realms, to bring back wisdom and to bring back healing and information for individuals and community. And ostensibly, I thought, well, that must mean there's this realm of their ancestors, their lineage. But the more I understand about extraterrestrials and their relationship with extraterrestrials, I began to have this belief that the shamans, when they leave this realm, also are accessing conversation, information, downloads, also from extraterrestrial beings. Can you address this? I know it's big, but fill in some of these blanks and puzzle pieces.
So some are in conversation with extraterrestrials, but that is how it started. There were beings who had a remembrance of who and what they were, and they worked with the indigenous people to teach them to remember their connection to the stars. And so there would be someone chosen from the group to be the representative who had the ability to hold and maintain their frequency. And as they did that, they were able to access higher vibrational states and access the Akashic records and communicate channel, if you will. So it isn't necessarily a bloodline that gets followed. It's beings who are a bit more vibrationally sensitive, which means it's a soul who's decided to explore that as their life. And sometimes souls can orient more with one star system over another. It depends on the archetypal programs that they're working on. So it's not that all shamans come from this star system or that star system. And we really try not to talk about things in terms of that, of coming from this star system or that star system, because we want you to orient yourselves with being a spark of the divine. That's truly who you are. You're not somewhere at the next level up from a star system, but you're source energy. So it's, as we said, it's not about the bloodline so much. And when an acolyte is sitting there with the teacher, there is a transmission, an energetic transmission that is happening as well. You're in that vibrational field. And so it makes it easier for the individual, the acolyte, to learn to attune themselves to the higher vibrational state. You've got someone who's mastered it. And so there is a transmission of that energy. It's not coming from the ancestral line per se. There's some of it that, yes, if they're from the same bloodline, that can happen, but it doesn't have to be. It can just be anyone who's open to information. So if you wanted to channel for yourself, as you connect to our broadcast, as you connect to someone else who's channeling, you're picking up the subtle energy of how that's done. It's contained within the transmission. And so if that is a desire for you, you can very easily start to plug into it. It's a living example of what is possible. At the how-to manual is encoded in it. So as you're studying shamanism and you're going and connecting with these beings, there is a transmission that is happening without a word being said of the frequency that they hold. And if you choose to, you can align with that.
I'm thinking about a healing that I participated in last night for a client who came to me from another country and has a really, really serious health condition, and feels like a great responsibility, you know, that someone entrusts you with their life force at that stage. And I just, the only thing I knew was to get out of the way, to get out of the way and let whatever come through me, with the hopes that he would be aligned with me for him to have something tremendous happen. And then I also imbued the healing session with a lot of love, just love, 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 because I feel so strongly that love is really the greatest healer of all and the greatest transmission. And so this frequency you're talking about, you know, was important to me as an example last night. And for me, not just to ask the shamanic lineage to come through me that I learn from and that I feel I embody, but also to ask all the benevolent extraterrestrials to join me in those moments, that hour and a half of work, my lineage also, but also those who look after me, those who look after him, whoever was available and knowing. And yeah, I had a very protective, sacred space for us both, but it just felt so big in that moment of all the people I've worked with when you get a health situation like that. And I really wanted the best for him, a miraculous, magical best for him.
Well, you know, many of you who are healers feel this burden of responsibility, and we want to lift it because all you can do is hold the highest vibrational state possible. The other person has to be willing to make the vibrational shift. So all the beings who show up amplify the signature of the higher frequency that that person has the opportunity to move to. It doesn't mean the soul wants to. It may be that the soul is still exploring other frequencies. And where it gets difficult for humanity is around death and dying. Everything is part of the cycle of life. And it's just another stage. And the soul will go on to explore a different version of reality. But there's a lot of heaviness, a lot of weight that is not your responsibility to carry. And we want to put that out there for some who are listening, because they're carrying a lot of it. It is not your responsibility ever. And you can't change someone else's energy. Even if you went behind them and altered their energy, they would either choose to make it a permanent shift, they would have to sustain it by altering their own energy field, or they would put it all right back where it was. So you cannot do that for them. All you can do is hold the highest frequency possible. Be the living example.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there validity? I've heard a generalized ratio that with the extraterrestrials, there's approximately 95% that are benevolent and 5% that are malevolent. And I think where I've heard this shared is to help people wrap their brain around this, but also to ameliorate what the concern is for a lot of humanity about the beings that might not be there to wish us very well or to be actively not doing very good things for us right now. Can you address, is there a certain ish percentage, and why is there a universe? Why there's even malevolent beings?
As we said, it helps you understand the light. Unless you have something to compare and contrast with, it's very hard to know something. So they provide the opportunity to better understand light. And all of you at some point will play a dark role. And in fact, at a soul level, it's often the most interesting role to play because it is so unlike your natural state of being. It is an illusion, and it is something that you don for the sake of playing a game. It is very much like a play, and actors will don a role to go out on stage and explore a topic through the play, through the expression. And then when they're done, they leave that character behind and they are once again themselves. So in this example, when you leave the stage, you're source energy. So we're a little cautious because we want you also to think about what in your mind determines whether something is good or bad. And what in your mind, in your moral dictionary, is a good or bad thing? And if you ask humans, you'll get very different answers. To somebody who is hyper pious, they might have a response saying, "Oh, that's bad. That's very bad behavior. Having a child out of wedlock, that's bad." And yet you ask someone else and they don't have a problem with it. There's no problem whatsoever. So it is very much the perspective of the individual that would put something in the good column or the bad column. And all of those quote unquote bad beings are of service. This is what's very difficult for humans to really understand, that these beings are source light. And it is very disempowering to many of you when you think about these beings. There's a tremendous amount of fear that gets triggered and activated around it instead of seeing them as being of service in the illusion of the game. You're seeing a lot on your planet. The patterns that you're seeing, they're going to intensify over the next several months. You're going to see some of the very dark behavior that's been going on your planet. It is so pervasive that it's very difficult for you all to think about what's been going on and the extent at which it's going on. It just doesn't even seem fathomable that some of this malicious behavior has been going on in such a deep way, but it is showing you what is so systemically in need of healing within the entire collective. And as you can perceive that, each of you can have healing at the personal level because we guarantee that at some personal level, in some way, you are playing that same frequency out. It may not be to the dark extreme that some of this stuff is being done, but it exists within you. So it is in part healing yourself, and they are there to be a mirror to show you that. So at the soul level, we wouldn't put them in the naughty category. They're just there to be a mirror. So when you start to own your own power, you're not being subjugated by anybody because you're a spark of the divine and you're choosing your reality through the frequencies that you hold. This is what's missing. On your planet today, there is this side A versus side B mentality. The dark has to fight the light has to extinguish the dark. And this is a level of consciousness that is quite low. And this is a game that's gone on your planet for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And there's been this cycle where the light were in power, then the dark were in power, and a constant back and forth. And that level of consciousness, we've got to extinguish the dark, is not going to let you rise vibrationally. It is only when you understand that the dark are part of the whole, they are part of source energy. It's a valid exploration of frequency. It doesn't mean it's one that you want to lend your energy to necessarily, not one that you want to condone, but you're not trying to push it away and make it separate from you. And when you do that, you come back into that perspective of wholeness, of one with all it is. And that is what allows you to increase your resonance. How you shift the reality, the collective reality, isn't about fighting and extinguishing that dark. It's about changing your internal frequency and the judgments that you're holding that will allow you to elevate your frequency and will change the reality that is reflected back to you. It is a different way of perceiving. And that's what you're moving into, and that is what is so difficult right now. The coming weeks and months on your planet, when you see some of the stories that are going to come out about the abuse of power at every level, It's going to trigger a lot in a lot of people, but you got to look to your internal stuff. Where do you abuse yourself? Where do you speak poorly to yourself about yourself? That's a place for you to heal. That's a place for you to start expressing kindness and love within yourself and then to those around you.
That's great to know in advance of that happening. And also all this ownership and responsibility you're talking about. And thank you for explaining the balance of all of this and the source that's in all of it. My last question is, it's about creation. And you had mentioned we are the creators of everything. If there's equipment in our house, and I think in most homes there is, that contain a router and Wi-Fi equipment. Do you recommend that we purchase EMF protectors, or do we not worry because we create everything and we're going to be okay? So do we take care of it, or do we have some concern about that frequency and protect ourselves with some EMF things around the house?
It's a little bit of both. So it depends on your belief system. If you think it is going to harm you and radically alter your energetic state, and you're holding that thought repeatedly, then that is what it will do to you. If you're holding a higher vibrational state and you're emanating higher resonances, and that's the dominant energy, then that weaker signal coming in from EMF is not going to impact you in the same way as opposed to someone who isn't really deciding how they want to feel. They're not putting any energy out. They're ruminating in their mind about all the negative things that have happened. That's going to impact them in a stronger way because they're not pulsing out their frequency. They're not deciding consciously how they want to experience reality. Now, in terms of EMF to create a blocker or anything like that, that isn't really going to do you any good. It's more about harmonizing the frequencies. That's a better way of approaching it so that what you experience is vibrationally altered, so that it's more harmonious with the human body.
Would you gift us with an activation right now?
Certainly. So let's do one for empowerment because we can see some people are feeling a little triggered and activated around some of what we've already discussed. But it's just a reminder that everything that you see in the external world, what shows up on your radar, is there for you. The person next to you may not see any of that, because they are not in alignment with the frequency. They are creating something that might be slightly different, and they're telling themselves different stories than the ones you're telling yourself. So as you go, it's really important for you to decide how you want to feel in every given moment. What vibration do you want to hold? That's truly what fifth dimensional existence is about. It's about being conscious in every moment about the frequencies that you hold. How conscious are you right now of the frequencies that you hold? Maybe once an hour you check in, maybe once every 15 minutes. Fifth dimensional reality is moment to moment to moment to moment, consciously directing your energy. So we want you to feel empowered to do that. So we'll do an activation, and the language of light is source language. It's comprised of light, sound, sacred geometry, and information. So there are different carrier waves that come along with the transmission. And it's helping you to find a specific frequency so that you yourself can shift your energy to that. Think about singing a note. If you don't have perfect pitch, it can be hard to find the note unless you have a reference point. So when someone says, sing an F sharp, if you don't have perfect pitch, you're like, well, I'm not sure what that is. But if somebody plays the note on the piano, you say, no problem, I can reproduce it. That's what the language of light is doing for you. It's giving you a reference point to alter your own energetic field, to be in alignment with that energy. All right. So nothing that you need to know or do. Just relax, take a nice deep breath. Hiso kuri maai de beji mra anko ole mene bere mra katai hando ini mene ji te ta kata hoso no e mra mene ida bar shukota pataketi hita ar i bere shukota ta 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 to kuri bere ji ta 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 bro bere ji ni ni kutori hisa asa sa sa kuri i mra ji bere bere shukota pataketai hasa ale i bidai. Take a nice deep breath. Hiso uri biri biri shukata hasa biri 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 shukata ta ar imena katori imasa sa sa uri biri shukata hasa anda kuri biri biri shukata ta 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 ar biri shukata hida ar biri ji. All right, take another nice deep breath. So there are many galactic beings who show up in this transmission, and that's why you'll notice that the energy changes. It's not just one group here, one group there. There are many beings who braid their energy together in the transmission, and each one is sharing the knowledge and information of how they have themselves integrated and accessed the frequency of empowerment, the frequency that we are focused on. So there's a lot that's contained within the transmission. Now, what we usually recommend for you all is that you either come back and listen to the recording again, or you imagine connecting to this moment again to reactivate and realign with that frequency. And we typically recommend that you do it 3 times a day for 3 days in a row, because that's a good amount of time to start to become familiar with the subtle energy, so you can start to recognize it as you embody it and as it is reflected back to you as your physical reality.
Beautiful.
So we'll leave you here. As always, you can connect with us. You don't need Wendy. Just ground, heart, center yourself, ask a question and listen. And until we hear from you, we'll be watching, waiting, and sending many well wishes.
We thank the 9Ps, the ninth dimensional Pleiadians, for being with us, 2,500 of them collective, to bring their energy funneled here through Wendy to all of us. How beautiful is that. Wendy, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing, really amazing. That was, well, we went a few places there. I want to know, where can people find you next? You have so much coming up. And also talk about Conscious Life Expo. I see you're delivering a few things there as well.
Yes, so the next event that's up is the Conscious Life Expo. That is, and maybe you can help me with the date. I'm a little spacey right now. So it's the 20th through the 23rd, I believe. And I'll be doing a panel on Saturday morning, navigating the awakening, I think. And then on Sunday, I have a keynote presentation. It is Pleiadian Wisdom for Manifesting New Realities. And then on Monday post-conference, I'll be holding a workshop, and that's Galactic Wisdom for Ascension. So that will be a channeled workshop, and we'll be working with more of the language of light and galactic light codes, and doing a meditation to connect with some of our galactic family. So that's going on this month. And then in May, I'll be back out in California and San Diego for the channel panel. And then that's the 8th through the 10th. And then May 16th, I'll be in Boulder, Colorado for the Gaia Channeling Conference.
Beautiful. Ah, that's going to be the Sphere Channeling
Yes.
Conference. Oh, great.
Yes.
'Cause I have access to that. So I'll be watching that. I look forward to it. And how beautiful. I can't wait to see you in just a few weeks at Conscious Life Expo, February 20th through the 23rd. You're exactly right. I know you're delivering a lot, and that must mean you are also busy writing codes, that they're giving you codes for your presentations to put up.
Yeah. So, I have a lot of codes. We have a monthly membership, and this month was our 100th code. So, there's a lot going on. It's been very busy.
And if you guys have not seen it before, this is an activation in itself, is also gorgeous when you see it written out. It's very clear it's another language. And this language, these codes come through Wendy, are given to her for her to write out. She does a magnificent job. And they're displayed as sometimes she takes us through the different sections of what she's talking about or channeling. But it's so powerful to have that visual and that frequency also going on in the room. So come join us. And Wendy, what are you next, dare to dream? What's not here yet for you?
Oh, there's so many things. There's just not enough time to get to everything. There are certainly books that I want to get to. I know some beings who are just patiently waiting. So it's just there's a lot. So I dare to dream about being able to have a block of time to be able to do that.
Folks, if you would like to find out more or follow the events that Wendy Kennedy is speaking at and all that's available to you to work with her and the 9Ps, go to higherfrequencies.net. And I bring everything together that we talked about in this show by saying, when we remember that consciousness speaks not only through words, but through codes, through vibration, through tone, through music, through presence. We realize we were never disconnected. We were simply learning, relearning how to listen and how to create. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Next week on the show, I am featuring Billy Carson and Daryl Anka, so be sure to join us. And be sure to subscribe to this number one transformation.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.